perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. It is a pleasure to have you with me today, no matter where you're listening from, whether that's from the mountains of West Virginia on terrestrial radio or a podcast all the way in South Carolina. We appreciate you listening and tuning in to us today. And don't forget, you can visit us on Facebook at Patchwork Heart Ministry, and our website is patchworkheart.org. We have so many amazing things going on with our ministry that we really want you to check it out and, you know, tweet us or Facebook us. We're so excited to be able to have this ministry and bring amazing Catholic speakers and authors to you each and every week here on Young Catholics Respond. Today, my guest is Christine Watkins, and she is a popular Catholic speaker and author. She was formerly an Christian atheist living a life of sin and began to serve the church, the Catholic Church, after a miraculous healing from Jesus through Mary, in which she was saved from death. Before her conversion, she danced professionally with the San Francisco Ballet Company, and today she has 20 years of experience as a Catholic speaker, retreat, and parish mission leader, spiritual director, and counselor, with 10 years of hospice grief counseling and 10 years post-abortion healing director. She has also hosted her own shows on Radio Maria and Shalom World Television, and she offers a weekly YouTube video through Queen of Peace Media called Find Your Way Home. So, Christine, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to spend a little time talking about your new book today on the program, but before we get to doing that, and by the way, the new book is called Of Men and Mary, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives. But you have many other books, but your story just seems so interesting just by reading that little pop-up bio there. It seems like you just have an amazing journey of faith, and I kind of want to delve into that for our listening audience.
So, yes, I was a big sinner. That's my claim to fame. When I speak at conferences, they don't introduce me by means of my accomplishments. They just list all my sins. It's kind of hilarious. But I was an anti-Catholic atheist, and I was raised that way. I was raised to think that Christianity in general was absolutely ridiculous. My dear father on Easter would wear a shirt with a decal of Jesus's face on it just to poke fun at it. And so, of course, for me, I thought it was ridiculous. And if there was one thing I was never going to be, it was a Christian, much less a Catholic Christian, because they were highly embarrassing. And of course, now that I am one, I am highly embarrassing. But at that time, that was off the rails. I was not going to go there. And because I had that God-shaped hole in me, like all of us have, that had to be filled with something else. And so for me, it was filled with ballet. I just loved ballet. I practiced it diligently for years. And so I was dancing as a member of the San Francisco Ballet Company, and I loved everything about it. I love the musicality, the physicality. You know, we'd go on tour with the San Francisco Ballet Company, and the pilot would say, "We welcome aboard the San Francisco Ballet Company," and everyone would clap. You know, and nowadays I get on a plane and nobody says anything. But I lost my career. I had foot injuries and 3 foot operations, and that took away my only love, really, and the only God I ever knew. And I grew very depressed, and I lost hope. And in my sadness, I turned to intimate relationships for comfort, and I fell deeper and deeper into very serious, serious sin. And I felt temporarily filled with some kind of life when I was in a relationship, but when that relationship inevitably failed, I was left with a larger, darker, empty, lonely hole inside of me. And I was always looking outside myself for someone or something to bring me comfort, to bring me a sense of peace. But I never, ever could feel inner peace. because sin takes away our peace. And I didn't think once to change my behavior, and one summer I ended up very, very sick. It turns out I had cervical cancer and very little time left to live, and my hair was falling out. I couldn't keep food down. I had no energy to walk across the street. And really, worse than being sick inside my body, I was so, so sick inside my soul. And I was turning to New Age spirituality for comfort. And the New Age would offer a carrot. It would offer nirvana. And I grabbed the carrot and then end up with nothing. And I remember seeing a picture of the Madonna and child, and the images really, really disturbed me. I wanted that picture down. I didn't like it. And at that time, I read a self-help book that had the name Jesus in it, and I wanted that name taken out. I didn't like the name or the images of Jesus or Mary. And in that state, with my really hating the Lord and his mother, I ended up with a friend. I didn't know he's Catholic. I didn't know he was praying for me. I could have cared less about either of those things, but I wasn't feeling well and I was lying down. And he was praying for me. And I felt this beautiful presence around me and within me, and of expansive peace. And I heard a loud pop inside my body. And I said to my friend, Joseph, what just happened? What was that beautiful, beautiful presence and feeling that just happened to me? And he said, Christine, Mother Mary came to me in prayer just now. She looked down from you, looked down at you from heaven, took pity on you, and asked her son to save you. Yeah. And it turns out the cancer was gone. In that one moment, I was given my life and my soul back. And I entered the church, and I've never looked back.
That's amazing. What an incredible story. For our listeners, you know, I mean, just in those moments of, maybe complete unbelief, maybe you have found our podcast and are completely unbeliever, non-believer. You're listening on the radio, flipping stations, driving through the mountains of West Virginia right now, which the Holy Spirit always has a purpose for each and every radio show we do. I always feel that God makes divine appointments. So if you're listening right now, to the radio or listening to this podcast, and the Holy Spirit has just spoken to you through Christine's story, follow that desire. I want to ask you the follow-up, so how did you entered the church, and then what happened? Like, how did you follow that grace that was given to you?
Oh, and I want to say, I didn't think to mention this, but my story in full, if you want to read about all my sins, is in a book called Full of Grace: Miraculous Stories of Healing and Conversion Through Mary's Intercession. And that too is available at www.queenofpeacemedia.com. So all my books are at queenofpeacemedia.com. And that book is Full of Grace. So that has my whole story. And so after that grace, I just wanted to gobble up the Lord, I guess. I wanted to know about scripture. I wanted to know who he was. I wanted to know about Marian apparitions. I just couldn't get enough. I went to theology school. I went to the Jesuit School of Theology, and I just sat in the classes marveling and crying at how wonderful this all was. I remember the days after my conversion, I sat in a church alone. I would go to morning mass every morning, and I was staying with my parents. They could not figure me out, and they still can't to this day. But I remember sitting there just weeping for joy and gratitude. And after a while, a man came up to me, a kind man, and he said, we've noticed that there's something going on with you, and we just want you to know everything's going to be okay. And I could tell, I'm actually very happy.
Right, I'm very, very happy right now.
So I gave my life to God. I gave my life to the Catholic Church. That's the church he actually asked me to join. Later on, I got a message that said, I want you to bring compassion, love, kindness, and generosity to my church. And I didn't know what that meant. That took me a while to figure out. But ever since then, I've tried to serve him and serve people through books, through talks, through hospice care, post-abortion healing, through counseling, so many different ways. I feel like my life isn't mine, it's his, and it was God's life all along. And really being a Catholic Christian means absolutely everything to me. It means the difference between life and death.
Yeah, you know, the truths of the Catholic Church and the beauty of it. I had somebody very long time ago at my parish. She was the parish librarian, and she said, you know, the church is so rich in beauty that, you know, if you understood the depths of its treasures, you would never leave it. And I really see that happening, you know, in our conversation, just you talking about it. Once you understand and have this relationship, the depths of the treasure of the church is so rich that you just want to dive into the, you know, this big gold treasure box and just keep, you know, looking around and contributing to it. That's the other thing. You know, we contribute to, you know, by our prayers, by our interceding for others, by writing, speaking, talking, sharing the faith. We contribute to that huge deposit of faith, as our catechism would talk about it, right? And so you have just, you know, really taken the bull by the horns and gone and done this. And in the minute that we have remaining in the first half of this interview, I just want to ask you, Christine, a little bit about your latest book, and we're going to come back and then, you know, flesh it out fully, but tease us a little bit here before the break about, you know, what this new book of Men and Mary is about, because it's about more conversion, right?
Right. And speaking of trying to spread this goodness in the world, books I've created and videos are one way to do that. And so this book called Of Men and Mary, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives, is doing just that. It's bringing people back to God and to the Catholic Church, just like the book Full of Grace is. And so I really encourage people to check out queenofpeacemedia.com, where the videos and the books are, because we all know somebody and we want to send them videos. We want to give them books. We want to get them on fire. If we're on fire, it pains our hearts so much when we have all this goodness and we can't share it the way we want to. And sometimes a book is the most effective way to do so. So in the book of Men and Mary, you've got three men who became priests. One became a deacon. One helped convert a convicted murderer, helped convert part of a prison, and another man with lots of sexual troubles became very holy and happy and chaste. And so it brings hope, because we are living in a broken world. The church is broken. We need to go deep into this joy, into this hope, into this possibility, and that's really what the book offers.
Awesome. Well, we're going to come back and talk about some of those stories in the book, because they are so moving and they're so powerful. So we have to take that short break here, Christine, and then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. This is an episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. My guest is Christine Watkins. Right back after these messages.
St. Thérèse of Lisieux's Little Way of the Cross, written by Victoria Clarizo and designed by Just Love Prince, is a beautiful prayer booklet that helps you pray the Stations of the Cross. Use these reflections to meditate on the great love and mercy that Jesus had for us as he journeyed to Calvary. The Little Way of the Cross includes gems from Scripture, the writings of St. Thérèse, and the words of Jesus from the imagination and prayer of the author. Go to justloveprince.com to get your copy today.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everyone. I am Bill Snyder, and we're just having a fantastic conversation with Christine Watkins. She is a Catholic author, speaker, and evangelist out there in the world today. An incredible journey of faith she has had. If you missed the first half of this interview and you're driving in your car, I highly suggest that you subscribe to our podcast. It's very, very easy. Go to our website, click on the beat. You can subscribe right there, or actually the rhythm, and subscribe right there to the podcast. Go back and listen to it again. Folks, her story is absolutely phenomenal. But I also want to, we were talking right before the break. She gave us a little bit of a teaser about her new book, Of Men and Mary, How Six Men Won the Greatest Battle of Their Lives. And obviously this has to tie in with our Blessed Mother, right?
That is the right Mary. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So, the title, kind of reminds me of Mice and Men, but this is Of Men and Mary. So, talk to us a little bit about the power, a powerful story in this book. We want our listeners to go online at queenofpeacemedia.com and purchase the book and read the whole thing. But tell me one of the powerful stories that comes out of this book that just, converts hearts and brings people back to Christ and the church.
So I've seen, and it's been proven, that all of the stories have been doing that. From the testimonies I get, people are converting and coming back to the church from reading the stories of Men and Mary. And I mentioned the first one. It's of a man named Michael Leitner. And he loved football. And at age 14, he was 286 pounds. So my son, who's 14, is about 90 pounds. So Michael could have sat on him and not known it. So he's just a massive guy. And he had a dream of being a football player. And this wasn't a pipe dream, because he had what it took. And he resented his Catholic family making him pray the rosary every night, and such, and because it was an obligation. And so when he went away to college, he thought, well, my newfound freedom, I get to do whatever I want. And he left all that behind, and he started drinking, did some drugs, had some girlfriends, started womanizing, worked at a rock club as a bouncer. And he comes home from college for a Thanksgiving break and is taking a nap, and he wakes up to a bag of marijuana dangling over his head that his mother found, and with tears streaming down her face, she's looking right at him. And she was a woman who'd been going to the pilgrimage site of Medjugorje and had just fallen in love with Mary so much in the faith, and was always trying to get her family to go to Medjugorje, and they thought she was kooky. And so Michael's sister is sitting on the edge of the bed at the moment that he's busted, and she starts chanting, "Now you have to go to Medjugorje, now you have to go to Medjugorje." And his mom says, "That's a good idea." And Michael says, "Heck no." So his mother ends up getting him there. And she says to him, when they're in Medjugorje, where the Virgin Mary has allegedly been appearing for about 38 years now, and she says, "There's one thing I want you to do when you're here, and that's go to confession." And he agrees. And in the confessional, he tries to make the priest's ears bleed from all his sins, but the priest is unfazed. And it's a very small confessional. And he confesses his sins, and in the prayers of absolution, Michael is thrust backwards by this presence in the confessional, this force. And keep in mind, at this point, he is 325 pounds and 6'5". And he can bench press 400 pounds. He is, with his knees and his calves underneath him, thrust back at a 30-degree angle, and his head hits the back of the confessional, and he can't move an inch. He cannot move a muscle. He's paralyzed. And at that moment, he knows God is real and who's in control. And then he feels this spiritual spear pierce his heart and pull out his sins. And then after that, he has a moment of ecstasy that lasts for 20 minutes in the Church of St. James, where he says it's better than billion times more beautiful and more happy and more peaceful than any earthly experience of joy or satisfaction he'd ever had. Sure. So he's completely changed. And there's so much to his story, but there's this other moment that I want to share, where he's in Medjugorje in a a nearby town where pilgrims to Medjugorje go. And Father Yozo and some other priests were praying over pilgrims, and many of them were being healed. And Michael Leitner, being the Leviathan that he was, was a catcher, meaning if people were slain in the spirit and relaxing in the spirit, he would catch them. And so he ends up next to a woman in a wheelchair whose spinal cord was severed 6 months ago. Her legs had completely atrophied. There was no chance for her to ever walk. And not only that, spinal bifida had set in, and basically Michael's wrist was the same size as the circumference of her legs. And so this priest was patiently praying over her for a long time, and he wanted to move on, but he felt like the Lord wanted him to stay and witness and be with the woman as the priest prayed over her. And he got fed up, and he said, "What, Lord, what do you want? Do you want me to pray for this woman?" And there was silence. And then he said, "Well, then I will. Get her up out of the wheelchair. Show us your power." And then he heard God speak. And God said, "Michael, if I get this woman up and make her walk, will you enter the seminary?" And he said, "Absolutely not." And then 20 tumultuous minutes go by, and he's squirming over this. And he thinks, "I've got an NFL career ahead of me. I'm 2 years away from entering the draft. You think I'm crazy? Give all that up? Give up the goal of my life?" And there was silence. And then finally, his heart warmed a little, and he thought to himself, "Well, it would be pretty cool to see her get up and walk." But he decided to change the rules. So he said, "Okay, Father, if you get her up out of her wheelchair and walk her around this entire church, I will enter the seminary." And in 5 seconds, she was up on her feet without anyone telling her to do so. She grabbed the back of her wheelchair and started taking a lap around the church. And Michael said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Somebody stop her. Somebody tackle her." So he was wandering in desperation to the center aisle of the church. And then he decided to change the deal again. And right. So there were tiles of gray slate in the church. And he focused on a small block near the tabernacle and got more specific. And he said, "If she does not step on that tile, I am not going." And the woman came to the front of the church, planted both feet on that very tile, and plopped back down in her wheelchair.
Yeah. And it's an amazing story. And for our listeners, just so you know, Father Leitner is actually a priest in our home diocese of Milwaukee, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I think he's on loan right now up in Green Bay, but he became a priest in this home diocese of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, where our show is based. So Father Leitner is just an incredible person, and loves football, still loves football, but gave it up for the Blessed Virgin Mary. So an amazing, amazing man, amazing story, and certainly one that just converts hearts on the spot, especially, you know, as he would recount it in the book, and I'm sure you have just told it so beautifully to our listeners. So thank you for that so much. One of the things you bring up, Christine, though, is Medjugorje, and what a powerful place that is on the globe. I have been there, I know that there are some amazing things coming out of Medjugorje these days, and I just want to talk to us a little bit about that, because I know that that's close to your heart as well.
It really is. I've been there a few times, witnessed many miracles. My husband converted deeper into the faith, and our marriage was saved because of Medjugorje. And by the way, his story can be found in the Full of Grace book. And the Father Michael Leitner story that I just shared, that's the first story in the book of Men and Mary, how six men won the greatest battle of their lives. So at the end of the book, I write a chapter that has to do with Medjugorje and the church and what the church says about Medjugorje right now. And so I really want to go into briefly a few of those things, because there's so much confusion right now. People say it's not approved by the church, you can't go, it's been condemned. So I want to clarify just a few of those points because it's so important that, that people simply know the truth. And I want to say that under the pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI, the Vatican made the unprecedented move of removing the power of any local bishop of Medjugorje to say anything definitive about the apparitions. So if people argue with you and say the bishop doesn't like it, the bishop approved, that's a null and void argument. So the power to say anything about the authenticity of the apparitions in Medjugorje lies solely in the hands of the Vatican. Okay. And then Pope Benedict also established a commission to study the apparitions, which met from March 2010 to January 2014 and concluded overwhelmingly in 2017 that the first seven apparitions in Medjugorje were authentic. So the commission recommended this news to Pope Francis of their discovery and their opinion and suggested that it be made an official shrine. And now that document of the commission's findings is in the hands of the Pope, and he has yet to make any pronouncements about it. On February 11, 2017, Pope Francis appointed Archbishop Henryk Hozer of Poland as his papal envoy to coordinate all matters relating to Medjugorje. And in December of 2017, Archbishop Hozer shared the breaking news that the Vatican now permits official diocesan pilgrimages to Medjugorje, and that Medjugorje conferences should continue. So right now, today, Medjugorje has never been received such positive endorsement from the Vatican. So official pilgrimages are allowed. The Pope has a specific apostolic visitor, Archbishop Hozer, in Medjugorje. And the breaking news as of this last week is that they're going to expand the shrine there. They need to accommodate the millions of pilgrims that go, and so they're going to make these structures bigger. And Archbishop Hozer, Pope Francis's apostolic visitor, said, "You, my dear friend, should be the carriers of the joyful news. Say to the whole world that in Medjugorje we can find the light again." And he speaks of the incredible fruit. Pope John Paul II, who's a saint, also believed ardently in the authenticity of the apparitions. So, you know, there's one danger alone with Medjugorje, and that's missing the graces that Mary is giving us through there right now. That's the danger of Medjugorje, is missing out.
Yeah, and Christine, absolutely, you're exactly right. Reading the messages and looking at them, you know, as you said, it's not a bad thing to do. And the church is, you know, still working through it because there's a lot of things still going on there, right? I mean, it's still an active apparition.
Absolutely, a lot. There. And so many vocations. I mean, Father Michael Leitner is just one of the, you know, thousands of vocations and millions of healings, and the fruits are absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal. Right. So this book, and queenofpeacemedia.com, you'll find this book and my Full of Grace book, and you'll be able to read. It's convinced a lot of people because you can't deny a person's personal experience.
Exactly. Christine, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. Again, queenofpeacemedia.com, you'll find Christine, her books. You'll also find her conversion, her story, her bio, CDs, downloads, speaking events, speaking topics. Go to the website queenofpeacemedia.com to find it all, and have Christine come out to your parish, do a parish mission. It would be wonderful to have her out there. So thank you so much for being here, Christine. I wish we had another hour to talk to you.
That would be great.
We'll do it. We'll have you back on another episode.
Nothing
soon.
Better than talking about God and his mom.
I know. Nothing better. Well, thank you so much. And this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org. Email info@patchworkheart.org or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.